Welcome to Story Breakers, a show where we come up with a brand new film idea every single episode.
And if you like it, it's yours.
I'm your host, Chris Brennan.
And I'm Stephen Ryan.
Okay, so we're back for another episode.
And today is a rebooty sequel
episode. It's a rebooty sequel-y episode. Yeah, so guys, on the show, we sometimes on one episode do an original idea, and then we do a reboot. We can come up with it ourselves, or you guys can actually suggest one for us by either letting us know on Twitter using the hashtag StoryPitch, or sending us an audio pitch that we'll play on the air.
Excellent. If I was a fan, I'd be doing that every week.
What's the details for that?
So hit us up at StoryBreakers on Twitter, Facebook /StoryBreakers, or StoryBreakers@gmail.com.
Woo! So today, it will be a sequel, because we got a request from Owen Perry at OwenPerry141. He says, I was wondering if you could try and take a shot at Pacific Rim 2.
Excellent. That was only, what, the other week? Last week, was it, I think, that it was cancelled, wasn't
it? Got the chop.
Yeah, it got to the Del Toro treatment where everything he does gets cancelled.
I think if I was a studio exec and I looked at the list of things that Del Toro planned on doing, I might be like, let's take this one away and we'll see how you feel. Yeah. Like, he signs up to so many things and that could potentially be detrimental, you know?
Yeah, it's like it's easier to hold one plate than spin 10.
It's true. So, yeah. So we're going to do Pacific Rim 2, right?
That's it. And you sent out a couple of messages on Twitter, didn't you?
I did.
Asking it was for suggestions.
Yeah, it's like, what would you like out of a sequel, you know? If they did a sequel, or if they asked you to do a sequel, how would you do it? So right away we got at Metropolis Kid saying, sequel is a bad idea. We already won. Doesn't need a sequel.
Okay, that's all for this week.
That's a wrap, guys. I know some people don't play the game. They just don't play it with us. Technically, no. Look, we're having a little fun here, you know. Yeah. But then we had a couple of people, like Rob O'Sullivan at Rob Hand, says, forget the robots, make Charlie Day and Idris Elba gigantic to fight the monsters.
Oh, so we're going Giant Man.
Yep, we're going Honey, I Blew Up the Always Sunny in Philadelphia cast.
And Luta.
That's true. And Owen Leahy at Ing Monkey says, Mecha Kaiju and Bio Jaegers, both sides learn from the other. Small single pilot, support Jaegers to swarm the Kaiju.
Okay.
She's looking at cross-breeding kind of thing.
Now, that's one thing that I would have kind of brought into this, like, into a pitch to a movie studio, thinking that maybe not necessarily from the human side. We won after all, so why would we change on?
Mm-hmm.
But the Kaiju lost, and the last things they seen before their planet or wherever it is their realm got destroyed was a robot. It was a Jaeger.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'd be kind of thinking, in my terms, I'd be thinking that the aliens would be like, right, so they beat us, why don't we take some of their stuff and enhance our creatures with that?
Gotcha.
So get like little combo breeds going on.
I like that. And I think that'd definitely be a fun way to take it. First off, thank you guys for all your suggestions and opinions. And let us know what you think after this episode as well. And we can mention it on the next podcast. Like, what you would have done differently on what we're about to come up with off the top of our heads.
Correct us. We're so pessimistic.
So I think I like the notion you're playing with. And I think this is a good moment to talk about like modern blockbusters and where they're going. Like when you have Jurassic World and you have Star Wars The Force Awakens and Creed, you're seeing a lot of things where they're not really trying to carve out new territory. They're trying to like take the greatest hits of what worked.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you like that? We'll give you some more. So we have a choice here. Should we just try to carve out some new land? Or do you want to like look at what your favorite thing is and just like throw some more stuff on the fire?
Yeah, no, let's carve out some new stuff. Let's go fresh with this, I think.
Okay.
Because it's only a couple of years old. It's like, you don't... Like, that's the problem with a lot of movies. Like Transformers and all that.
Yeah.
They just rehash the same thing over and over and over again.
Oh, man. I get like, even if you were to ask me what happened in what film, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's robots fighting robots.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. But that's it then, for a while, and they're so long.
Oh my god, like nearly 3 hours. It's not needed. Like, why can't we have a 3-hour Captain America movie, like The Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
You know, or an Avengers that needs it, you know, the Age of Ultron. That needed an extra couple of minutes.
It did. You have too many characters to juggle. So cool. So we're going to look at Pacific Rim 2, and we're bringing back the The guys, right?
The ones that are alive still.
So that would be Charlie Day's coming back.
Yeah, Newt.
Newt. Okay, yeah.
We've the other Charlie. Raleigh, was it? Is that his name?
I'll IMDb this. I'll get my phone up so we can discuss their character names.
I remember Mako. She was the... yeah, Raleigh. It's Raleigh Beckett. That's his name.
Okay.
And then you had Idris Elba. He's dead, so we can't have him. Mac O'Mori, she was the co-pilot. And then we have is it Gottlieb Byrne Gorman? That was little Charlie Day's friend in it.
New sidekick.
Yeah, he was the other scientist, the mathematical scientist.
Gotcha.
So, and what's his name? Ron Perlman is still alive as well.
Because he cuts himself out of the thing. Yeah. Gotcha.
Hannibal Chow, that's what it was. I didn't even have to look at IMDb for that.
Oh, nice.
It's an awesome name. Hannibal Chow.
Nice. So cool. So those are our players for this.
Yeah. And we have no Jaegers left. Everything was destroyed.
Yeah.
So we're on fresh slate now.
Now, do you think that there's an option that we can maybe take it to the Kaiju land? Like, we can have it set there. Or should we try to set it in America? Or, sorry, in Earth. Planet Earth.
Yeah, on Terra Firma.
Which a lot of Americans would call America.
yeah, I think that we should do it on Earth. Because I think when you go away to the distant planets, it feels less real. And the threat isn't the same.
I agree. Even though some people disagree, when Man of Steel came out, they had that extended opening set on Krypton. Yeah. And I was completely pulled away from it. I wasn't connecting to anything. Mm. So it's a lot of moving parts with no emotion to me.
Exactly. It's like Avatar as well. Avatar is a bit kind of funny like that. You know the way? It's like it's a bit flat at times.
Okay.
You know, and I think that if that was a group of humans, it would have been Dance with Wolves, obviously. Right. But, yeah, it would have been a bit more engaging, I think, as an audience.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to stick with Earth. I like that. That makes sense as well. So what we're trying to do then, and remind me, at the end of Pacific Rim, did they close the rim?
Yeah, they blew up the breach.
They did it by dropping a robot into them, right?
That's it. Mako and Raleigh go into it, and one of them escapes basically through like the ejector seat, goes up through the what was it he called it? You just said it there,
the rim.
The rim, yeah. The whatever the gateway is there, and then Raleigh follows her up. And
so they Tony Stark it.
Yeah, and it's a nuke as well. That's the whole thing. But they keep on saying the rest of them are all run on like electricity and diesel and stuff like that. And this is a nuke.
Oh yeah, so it's got like a reactor at its core.
Exactly, and that's what blew the bastards up.
So I really like your idea then that we can have something to do with the, and I think Owen mentioned it as well. He like you have something to do with hybrids.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a really nice element to take away. And in fact, maybe we can tie it in for both. Like we can have we've given those those kaiju creatures the mechanical parts. So maybe we can find a way to take a kaiju and put some armor on it.
Okay, yeah, okay. What if then, how about if they done with the Jaegers, it was a kind of like, it was an inefficient program, right? It was basically a robot, like a man.
Yeah.
Fighting like dinosaurs, animals, ones that could fly, some that could swim, you know, that kind of way.
It's a giant robot, man.
Yeah.
Walking around the water.
Men aren't really, like, would take away our guns and all that, and weapons, we're not the best hunters in the world.
Nope.
So why would you have like a man go up against like a bear, say, you know, that kind of thing? It doesn't really work. So maybe the humans were kind of looking at it and say, right, so we'll adapt the robots to maybe a more animalistic kind of
team. Also, look at the animal kingdom is in terms of hunters.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the best hunter in the sky? It'd be an eagle, you know, that kind of way. So maybe we'll go with that. Now, it is a bit Power Rangers-y, but it already is like that. So I think we can get away with it.
I think you're right. I have no problem with that. And considering the fact that it's the Pacific Rim and they're coming from underwater, there should be an underwater Jaeger, right?
Exactly.
You have like a shark Jaeger.
Yeah.
And maybe we can have like, because I think one of the fun things about this franchise too was, or the film was all the different locations. So maybe we can have like a sand one or a desert one. We have a snake Jaeger.
Snake would be quite good.
So I like what you're saying, because then we're giving ourselves something different visually. It's not just giant robot man versus creature with three arms, you know, like which was fine in the first one, but I think you'd be worn out immediately.
Yeah, you need to step up. You need to step up.
It's what Transformers does, and I just get bored of it. Going, I've seen this. different city, same.
And the funny thing is, stuff. I like the first Transformers. I think maybe that is the reason why I don't like the rest of them, you know, because it doesn't change.
Yeah, that's true. I like that. Okay, so
are we going to go with the, the whole Charlie Day, Newt, having his, remember he drifted with a kaiju. So that's we're going to pull that back in some way to kind of reestablish a connection between everyone.
One cool thing, and they mention it in that one, isn't it? It's like, he drifted, which, if you haven't seen Pacific Rim, drifting is like when you kind of connect your mind with each other or with the creature.
Yeah.
And when Charlie Day drifted with the giant creature, that he saw parts of their world and was like, oh, wow, I know what they're up to. And then Hannibal mentions like, oh, they can see us as well.
Yeah, if you drifted with the kaiju, he knows where you are, basically. You know, he can see, just because you can see its thoughts, it can see yours. It goes both ways.
So it's hive mentality. Yeah. So I think it'd be kind of cool to play with that. That's really strong. So maybe it wasn't just that when Charlie did it, they drifted with Charlie, but maybe they opened up a network to everybody. So we're talking about, like, because that happened, the kaiju now have a lot more information about us than we'd like them to have.
Yeah, exactly. And he is pretty high up. Like, he is a scientist, after all.
Yeah.
So he knows the ins and outs of a lot of things. He would know a lot of precious information.
He knows how to sleep with Danny DeVito.
Who doesn't?
That sounds great. Also, now that we're talking about the kaiju drip, maybe we can jump ahead a little bit. We're talking about crossbreeding and stuff. It would be kind of cool if we could have one of the guys control a kaiju. Since they drift to control a robot, what if Charlie and that other guy that doesn't get along with them?
Burn.
Yeah, what if they drift with the kaiju? So these two guys who don't get along learn how to get along with each other, and then what you have near the end is probably a kaiju on the side of the Jaegers. You have one of the creatures who's now mind-controlled by people fighting other creatures alongside robots.
I like that.
That could be fun, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but it's a good place to aim for. And it gives us, again, something we haven't seen, but it's playing on what we know of.
Definitely. So where are we going to start this, then? Like, after all, as far as the humans were concerned, the aliens were gone.
Yeah.
You know, there was no more kaiju. Like, so the world's a happy place now.
Mm-hmm.
The drift is closed. There's no more Jaegers. Would you invest money into building the Jaegers just in case, or would you invest that into kind of making the planet a little bit better, like rebuilding and putting up maybe safety measures? Like, they were building a wall. They stopped the Jaeger program in Pacific Rim, and they built walls, basically. That was
Trump's plan, I think.
Oh, so the Kaiju are Mexicans.
Oh, wow. And look what happened there. They just ripped the wall down.
They did. El Gringo Kaiju. So, maybe. And they were referred to as the Resistance by Idris Elba in the first one. So do you think maybe something is going on secretly, that there is still a Resistance that we just don't know about them? And maybe Charlie and Mako are brought into it. Oh, not Charlie, Raleigh.
Yeah.
And Mako are brought into it, thinking that the whole Jaeger thing is gone.
But secretly they've been building these animalistic Jaegers.
Just in case.
That makes sense. I like it. But I also like what you're saying about it goes another way as well. Like, they're taking this technology, which is quite radical, that two individuals can work together and mentally control a robot.
Yeah.
Like,
the neural handshake.
The neural, that's what it is. Like, you think, because you mentioned other applications. So we could, like, have them, they've went away from the military, and maybe they're working on that, doing something else, right?
Okay, so, like, you think, like, medicine or something along those lines, like that?
Operations. Yeah, medicine, because they're really good at that. They're one of the only people who can do that, right?
Yeah.
So when they finish fighting monsters, it's like, do you go the separate way? Because we've put them up as a team. So it'd be kind of cool if you opened up and they're working together, but maybe they're actually controlling a tiny robot that's inside somebody or doing some kind of surgery.
Nanotechnology or whatever, yeah.
Nanotechnology, yeah. So they're actually controlling, like, they're doing, like, evasive surgery, but controlling a tech inside a person. But when we see it, they're in that little bubble thing. What we think is a head, but it's actually like a simulator to control the tiny things.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So we start off, we show you something familiar. This is Pacific Rim. These are the suits. But what you see then is like, it's actually surgery.
So basically the first part of the movie is going to be, what's that inner space with Dennis Quaid?
So they're inside Martin Short, who's like really overacting.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh my God, we're so close to actually just doing inner space. If they go inside Charlie Day, then this is inner space.
Nobody wants to be in there. Yeah. I'm sure that's an episode on Always Sunny.
Yeah. But that'd be kind of fun. And look, again, I'm loving that we've taken the science that they have in the first film and we're evolving it and developing it into something
else. That's what it is, though, isn't it? That's what happens in real life. You know, the military use something and it gets basically worked on and then it's out into the public as a phone or, you know.
And that's what should happen in more sequels than not, or even reboots, is you take it and you evolve it and you transform it to something different instead of go, you like this? Staple it back on. Call it something else. And you're like, that's kind of the same thing, pal.
That's it. Sure, in the first one, Raleigh is in the Jaeger at the start. His brother dies.
Yeah.
He basically leaves that program and goes and builds a wall.
In Alaska. Yeah.
And it's like, surely, you know, you could do something better than just build a wall, like, in another way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have something else to kind of focus your time on? You know, you are pretty gifted as an individual, you know, just, you'd be brought into some sort of program. So I think this
makes sense. But also you're talking about the retired veterans of that war.
Mm.
You know, they've seen enough bad things that they've had their appetite full of it. So it's nice that they can actually dedicate themselves to, I guess saving lives, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know? But we do want to kick off the story, and I think that might lie with Charlie Day, Newt.
Yeah.
I think he is a character that, what if he doesn't, I'm just thinking, like, what are we trying to go with this? Like, you say that there's no more kaiju, so you can set up an idea that maybe people are worried that there will be kaiju. You have the resistance already, we talked about, they're secretly building stuff.
Yeah.
And then you have Hannibal and you have Charlie, who are definitely vested interest in there being more kaiju. So maybe he's a guy who's doing some research on it and maybe discovers that there's another breach. I don't want another breach, that's kind of shitty. It defeats the first film, you know?
Yeah. What if Charlie has like a dream, like a moment when, we don't know it's a dream at the start, and you see Charlie's like kind of like flashing images.
Okay.
It's kaiju, they're building stuff, you know, the kind of way they're attacking Earth.
Right.
Charlie wakes up, is like, holy shit.
I just drifted myself.
Oh my god, what's going on? I need some help, I need to get out of here. You know, and he goes,
I was in bed last night, I drifted myself. And I'm like, drifting with yourself, I drift with myself every night.
Yeah. I just can't stop. You know, I have to
wake up wet. With sweat. Because of the vision he had.
I know, it's just sweat, it's disgusting. So it's basically, he knows something's going to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe he goes to Hannibal Chow.
Okay.
And he's like, so you were telling me in the first movie, and obviously better dialogue, that, you know, we drifted both ways, that they know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think something big is going to happen.
I'm seeing visions. I love that.
Yeah.
And that's a classic. That is a nice classic staple of a sequel. He'd be like, shit's happening. And we've established that he's got a mental connection with them. What if it's something even that we're not quite sure if all the kaiju have been destroyed? I mean, what if...
Ooh.
Like, we don't have to open the seal, the rim, yet. We can probably still open it.
Yeah.
But what if one of the kaiju was still alive and hiding underwater?
Okay, so here's an idea. In the first one, one of the kaiju had a baby.
That's right, yeah. So we've actually established that they can have kids.
Yeah, so what if one of them popped out a sprog on its way to, like, Tokyo or something like that in the water? And it's been grown in the depths of the ocean where we don't go into the darkness, you know, the kind of way? Because we always do talk about, like, not we, as in me and you, as in, like, scientists, like, we don't know half of the creatures that are down in the
ocean. We know more about space than we know about underneath. Under the sea!
I wish Sebastian was there.
Oh, we should totally have him.
The Jamaican lobster, he's amazing. maybe.
That's awesome. And then, you're saying that with the years that have gone by, he's grown. So there hasn't been any commotion because this seedling needed to grow.
Yeah.
Like this baby becomes a full-grown thing, and that's where maybe it triggers Charlie's vision.
Yeah.
Because maybe he kind of catches on to it, like, it comes online. So, like, all of a sudden, there's one kaiju in the world.
Yeah.
And because they're like electrical pulsed creatures or something.
There's some of them are, yeah, like an EMP and stuff.
Maybe
like
it's something like that that charges through its brain, and then that sends a pulse to the still drifting Charlie.
Yeah,
we've never even lost that.
We can even have it that like Charlie has always had visions since the breach was closed.
Yeah,
but he just never understood them. Like, you know, they were never clear enough, and was always he always thought it was residual, a side effect, basically, of him drifting with the kaiju. But now it's kind of the images are becoming more and more clear. So maybe he goes,
maybe it is like a piece of metal covered with a little bit of creature flash. Very close up, the audience doesn't know what it is, and we don't know, but what it will reveal to be is hybridity.
Oh, nice word.
Thank you.
It sounds like a bread in Subway.
Can I get a foot long hybridity, please? Meatballs.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I like that. So why would this kaiju come out? Why would this kaiju attack now? Because obviously we're going to have an incident, you know, to spark bringing Raleigh and Mako out of retirement. And
one of my favorite films is Jaws, and I love the scene in it where these two guys go out to get, like, they wanted to get the bounty on the shark, so they bring like their Christmas ham out, and they go on a dock with a hook and they throw the ham in the water and the shark gets it. So maybe it's about provoking it, because you can actually have a couple of people who are probably like, I'm going to get me some of that kaiju, because those kaijus are rare and people need them.
Do we know that the kaiju still exists, though, or is this just a kind of...
No, we don't know, and no one knows, but there's going to be some harebrained lunatics who do that anyway, right?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So maybe Charlie's involved, too. Maybe he's looking. We can have the kaiju not knowing that land exists, and maybe they bait him out, and they're like, oh, shit.
How about if with Charlie's visions, he goes to the new head of resistance, and he's like, look, there's something going on. I can't explain it, but I don't trust it. You know, the kind of, maybe the breach is not closed, and maybe they are going to come. So maybe the resistance sends like a troop down to the breach to kind of survey the area to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And maybe the kaiju was drawn to the breach because that's where his home is, you know, the way, or its home is.
Right.
So there's that connection there between the kaiju in our world and their world.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, it's that perfect storm where we all just arrive together and it's like, holy shit, it's a kaiju. How did that get here? How did it get through the breach? And maybe they antagonize it. Maybe it gets a taste for flesh. Or maybe we escape slightly and the resistance escapes and the kaiju follows it.
Yeah.
Sees land for the first time and it's kind of like, oh, this looks tasty.
I like that. And we can say, like, they probably had a camera set up next to the rim, just always monitoring.
You would, though, wouldn't you? You'd have, like, turrets and all that built up there. I don't know why they didn't have that in the first one.
Yeah.
Like, big bloody guns.
And then you have, say, Charlie going, there's something down there. Like, do you keep it monitored? And they're like, yeah, but thing is, there's other fish that float around there, too. It's dark. Like, we can't detect movement because there's going to be movement.
Yeah.
But you have a really nice scene where they send that guy down. And maybe something just wipes the camera. Mm. Like this large thing just wipes it quickly. But people aren't going to get surprised because they're like, oh, it happens. Like, there's like kelp down there or whatever. Like, there's fishy creatures.
It's just a goldfish.
It's Sebastian. Yeah. He just wants to sing to his friend. Oh, are you Ariel?
It's Nemo just swimming really close to the lens.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I like that. And maybe when they check, nothing's there. And then on the way back, the kaiju follows him or follows the person or the vessel back up, right? Yeah,
definitely. What if it's at nighttime then as well when this happens? Because the kaiju would be in the deep. It would have no access to sunlight at all.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of way. So this is nighttime. It's still a little bit bright.
Mm-hmm.
But we could have like the sun come up as after the like this incident happens.
Yeah.
And that pushes the kaiju back into the ocean. Because it's never had that much bright light.
I like that.
So we don't need a Jaeger now at the moment
to
come and save them because they're just not ready. They're not expecting it. But we still get an incident and not everybody dies.
That reminds me of this book I read when I was a kid. And it's called Meg. And it's about the Carcharodon Megalodon. And it's like the giant prehistoric shark.
Mm.
It's like a great white shark, but 50, like huge, like yeah. humongous. You actually can, the jaw still exists. So if you go to like the, some museums, like say the New York Natural History Museum, yeah. the jaws are actually...
Like the teeth are like half your body, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. They're huge. But in that book, it was underwater for so long. So when it comes to land, it only comes up at night because of the light.
Yeah.
And what they do is they accidentally blind the shark and now it can go day or night. So that'd be kind of cool. Like, it just reminded me of that when you said that light is an issue.
Yeah.
Because it would be if this creature never saw daylight.
And that's why fishes... That's why... Like, I know there's some fish out there that they hunt upwards yeah. to the ocean because they see silhouettes of other fish kind of from the sunlight. Now, obviously, it's really dark, so it's we wouldn't be able to see it, but they're so... They can't handle the sun at all.
Mm-hmm.
Light, so that's how they do. So they attack by silhouettes, so they just attack upwards. So that could be a whole thing, like, you know.
Cool. And maybe... Charlie or Hannibal, maybe it's Hannibal because he seems more dastardly.
Mm.
Maybe he's there, but he actually put some kaiju remains on the vessel without anybody knowing about it. So that kind of works as bait at the Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
So like, where is it? And this creature now follows the scent of its own kind.
So there we go. Instead of just lunatics dropping a Christmas ham in for the kaiju.
Yes.
It's Hannibal employing lunatics to bait this kaiju out after Charlie talks to him.
Yeah.
So he kind of gets a holiday. He's like, business is back, boys.
Yeah.
Doors are open again. You know, the kind of way he wants those, he wants that Viagra that comes from the kaiju, whatever it is that he was talking about, like the bone dust or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I like that. So I'd say then we want to get the kaiju popping up, right?
Definitely.
And maybe between this, because we talked a lot about that, you could even include a scene where maybe Charlie goes to Raleigh and Mako,
yeah.
Just to propose something, and they're telling him, Charlie, we're out of that, like, it's over. Just to get them back in it for a little bit,
yeah.
And they're saying no to the idea that he thinks there might be one out there.
Yeah.
And just so we haven't lost them completely. And now we're back with the kaiju, and it's following the team to the land. Now, what city is this going to be? Because it's kind of cool how they always choose different cities.
Yeah, it was kind of eastern, wasn't it? And everything, like, yeah. There was, like, Tokyo was one of the big ones in the first one. It all has to be kind of surrounded by water anyway.
So it's not like South Africa, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't know.
So Johannesburg, kind of, like, it makes its way to Johannesburg.
Yeah, because that's around, a specific, like, no, that's Atlantic. No.
So we're going Atlantic Rim.
Yeah. No, yeah, it needs to be. It could be America, actually. Do they ever really attack America?
No, they never hit America.
So it's not San Francisco.
So we're going Florida?
No, it says Atlantic.
Atlantic, so it didn't swim around.
Yeah. Maybe Mexico.
Yeah, okay.
We'll hit Mexico.
It's kind of fitting, since they are Mexican kaijus.
Yeah. It crushes the other wall. So I don't know if there's any major cities in Mexico. Like, if it doesn't work, then pick a California resident or whatever. But we'll hit America first. So it's creep. Like, so these guys come back from their... I'm sorry. Like, maybe we should go India. I just think America's so done.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It's a hypothetical country now at the States.
It's
so
true, but yeah. From what I'm picturing, I'm like, the cool thing about Pacific Rim was it wasn't really American, you know?
Okay, so using the world of Google, we can go Philippines or New Zealand. Let's go New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Let's say Lord of the Rings. It.
I like it.
So they go to Middle Earth.
Yes. So you have Hannibal's cronies
yeah.
coming up going like, we saw nothing, you know? But you had this thing that maybe when they were calling, like they're on the boat and they're calling back and like, we saw nothing. But you actually see like this tail and this head kind of slowly emerging from the water behind them, you know?
Yeah.
And when they get to land, all of a sudden this thing walks like right over them. And this is like nice. A kaiju seeing land for the first time. Like, didn't even know yeah. this existed.
How does it start raining all of a sudden? And it's just the water dripping off the kaiju on top of them.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. So now you have this huge scene. People are losing their shit. Like,
yeah.
And it's going on like TV channels everywhere. Like, it's people are going crazy. We are not prepared for this. There was no breach in yeah. the rim, so there's no way that they could have came that way. So we're totally not prepared, and this thing is just, It's not even attacking more so than just walking forward scared and ripping everything apart.
Yeah, it's just too big for the place as well. Yeah. Like it's like the Indominus Rex, is it, from Jurassic World?
Yeah.
Where it's learning, you know, the kind of way. Yeah. That's what Chris Pratt says, isn't it? He's just learning.
Yeah, I like that.
He's seeing where he fits in the food chain.
So then you have people like the, I guess, you have the military trying to do something, but yeah, they're fucked.
Nothing happening. It's just the place is getting destroyed.
Yeah. And Raleigh and Mako have no idea about this because they're in surgery.
Yeah.
And you can't be like, oh, sorry, guys, come out. Like, yeah, they're in invasive surgery. So while this is happening, they have no clue. I think they have no clue until they leave surgery and maybe...
Until the door is open up from the yeah, little pit that they're in.
Yeah, and it's one of those... I've heard about surgeries taking all night, you know? Like, yeah, so it's like a all...
Yeah, it's like a 13-hour surgery.
Yeah, because it'd be kind of cool. I love your idea that they can't do anything about this kaiju. It's ripping the ground up.
Yeah.
You probably have Charlie going, oh no, and you have Hannibal going, oh yes, yeah, you know? And
yeah, Hannibal's there like, so what are you going to do? Are you going to kill this thing? Because, you know, I want the parts, you know, the kind of way.
Then you have like the horizon creeping in and this daylight's coming.
Yeah.
And you might have this really cool shot where like, because it's really dark and it's hard to see the creature still, but you just see this one flash of light hit its eye and it screams because it's never seen sunlight before. And this scream like shatters glass, you know, like you want that big, big material. And it turns around and it's trying to avoid the sunlight to start hiding behind buildings.
Scurrying like a vampire.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be sweet.
And I'd say it heads beeline right back to the ocean again and disappears.
Yeah.
It's like you can't even track this thing. It's out there being...
And you're left with this completely silent moment in a city just torn to shreds.
Yeah.
And you probably have like a lamp, just like, not a lamp, but like a light pole, like it's just going, you know, and that's all you have. And you're like, fuck. I'd say you match cut that to two doors being pushed open. It's the military walking in on Raleigh and Mako going, we need to talk.
What if that room that they're in where they do the operation is like it's like Cerebro from X-Men, you know, it's kind of cut off from everything.
Okay.
And as soon as those doors open, there's like military and a general just standing right there waiting for them.
Oh, cool, yeah.
And it's like, what the hell is going on? Are we getting arrested? Did we do something? Or maybe Raleigh's like, what did you do, Mako?
Yeah.
You know, are you bringing that that Japanese food into the country again?
Because they hate that.
They do.
We don't want your plan. I love it. So I think then you have that sit down at 700 hours, blah, 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 this happened. This creature came from the sea. And they're like, well, how? The rim wasn't breached. And we can get all that information out.
Exactly. And we can even, like, because we'll have explained most of it and the audience will have figured most of it out. Maybe Raleigh's like, you know, hey, tell me something that the newspapers can't. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of way? It's like, we read it on the way over here. Like, what are we doing to stop this?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Jaeger program has been finished now for like 5 years or 6 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, where do we stand with this? How long will it take to build a robot? And then it's like, well... We already planned for this, you know, the kind of way we had a backup plan, a contingency plan. Maybe the room kind of spins around and like the windows change and you open up onto like a factory floor.
And then you had that music. Dan, yeah, dan, dan,
exactly.
Dan. That was a kick-ass soundtrack.
It was. It was really, really good. And yeah, we see Jaegers. We see...
But not Jaegers that we recognize.
Yeah, what do you reckon? We see one that's normal, like Gypsy Danger.
Okay.
That's Raleigh and Mako's one.
Maybe they're still building it or piecing it together.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how long will it take you to finish it? You know, because, you know, we can't go out with a half-built Jaeger. And then it's like, well, actually, if you look over here.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of more pilots.
Oh, then we get a team.
Yeah.
Yes, that's really cool.
And also, I didn't think
if we're going to have all the other Jaegers, then we're going to have teams accompany them.
Yeah, because that was the one thing in the first one was we didn't really get to spend much time with the teams.
No, it was the Australian guys.
Yeah.
Which one guy looked exactly like Raleigh.
Yeah.
And at one point they fight each other. And I got so confused. It was like when Homer Megatron was dressed. Yeah. It's like when Homer was dressed like Krusty the Clown and they wrestled, you know?
And he did the switcheroo.
Yeah. I was like, I'm kind of lost as to who I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
They chose like two white guys with short blonde hair. I was like, I don't know.
It's true.
Someone speak so I can tell the difference. So yeah, you're right. And Del Toro loves his teams.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big fan. Even in Blade 2, they're like, this is the team of guys. Ragtag
team with six-packed vampire killers.
Yeah, yeah, he loves a good team-up, you know? But this is essential to what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, the Jaegers that we have, it's... And this is like when we kept trying to come up with these things before, like, even in our last episode, it was like, how many demons are there? I don't know. We'll make it up. So we'll go, we can add or take away, because I don't know.
It's off the top of our heads.
We've got the water one. That'll be like a shark.
Yeah. Or what about an octopus?
Ooh, I like
That'd be cool. All those tentacles whipping around.
Yeah, I like it. So an octopus Jaeger. You said an eagle as well?
Something that flies, like an eagle or a
pigeon,
falcon or a sparrow.
Yeah, a chicken. You know, like we built it under chicken specs. Yeah. Can they chickens fly? It'll peck at
it. It's a penguin. You wanted a snake. You said snake arrow. That's awesome.
Snake would be cool.
That's pretty cool.
But we need like a big, bad, like a broody kind of one, right? Because we don't really, like, out of that list, they're all quite different and they have different functions.
But we need like the king predator of the land. Yeah. I think in either a silverback gorilla style or a grizzly bear.
Oh, cool.
Something along those lines. Something big and powerful and dominating. Like an elephant doesn't cut it.
Yeah. I like the gorilla. It's similar to the shape of a man, but I think that it would be designed different. Yeah,
it's more agile.
Yeah, it would have like, it would be really cool to see the whole gorilla pounding onto a creature that we'll see.
That's cool.
So then we have like these newbie pilots who drift together. And these guys aren't that experienced. They've never faced off.
I'd say that they are like the best at what they do. They're like drone pilots, but they've never been in the field.
Okay, so
they're really capable of like controlling the Jaegers.
In a simulation.
Yeah, but they don't have the strategy and they don't know how the Jaegers, the Kaiju really react. Like Raleigh and Mako, they were in there and they fought loads of them and they know how they think more so than the new guys do.
Although, I remember watching it and I think it was the Jaeger fight where they flew out into space or something.
Yeah, isn't that one of the birdie Jaeger?
It grew wings and they flew to space. And at that point, when they were in space, they were like, activate the sword. You're like, why wasn't that sword out from the beginning? So I'd love it if one of the new guys was like, yo, how about this time? Like, you pull out that sword in time. Yeah. I would love for someone just to be like, you don't use that sword when you needed it. Because that would have really came in handy at any point.
It's like the Iron Man 2 where he whips out the lasers and he tells War Machine to duck.
Yeah.
And he whips out lasers and he just like basically cuts all the robots in half. And Rhodey's like, why don't you lead with that next time? But he has a good excuse of, it's a one-time deal. You know, that sort of thing. And then in the next one, he always has it. So I was like, just use that all the time.
That's what you need. Like if, I don't know how, like, you can only use a sword once.
So you're saying it's like a plastic knife. Yeah. Or a paper plate. You can only use it once.
But yeah, so they comment on that. And these are kind of like, we can do what you can do.
Yeah.
And maybe Raleigh and Mako, they're not cocky. They're kind of war-worn.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't understand. And maybe the whole thing is that they're going to be leaders. Mm. But they didn't choose to be these leaders.
Yeah.
Because their leader was
never
were.
Yeah, exactly. They never were leaders. That's the thing. Yeah.
So maybe in a unique way, like the last one was really good for, they handled like such a great theme with loss, like how they both lost people, but they needed to come together and not focus on the loss, but literally coming together will actually find them closure or like help them live on, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, that's quite a sophisticated thing for robots versus monsters.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll get to that really off the top of our heads.
No.
So maybe we'll go with more like, you should be leaders, you know, like, and the struggles they have
into that situation
to I guess command rather than fight. Cause I think it would be kind of fun to see that that's not supposed to be their role in this, but all they know is like, you guys can't do this. Leave it to us.
Yeah.
And what we're going to see later will be that they're outmatched by the monsters that will appear. I don't know how the monsters will appear, but that's what we're leading to.
Yeah, exactly. I like that idea that it's like not every soldier is fit to be a general.
Yeah.
And Mako and Raleigh never asked for this. Mm-hmm. They were never in that position. They were foot soldiers.
Yeah.
And they're a bit too precious or a bit too worried that the new crew will die, that they don't want to lose people.
Okay, I like that. See, that... At least now we're getting back to like that underlying theme of the other one. That's really nice.
So it's like we've lost everyone. We've put up with it. We've done it for the greater good, but we don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so just put it on us. We're experienced. We know how to handle these things.
Yeah.
We can take care of this kaiju on its own. On our own, rather. We don't need the other team. And maybe the other team then, the team are like kind of like, well, screw you guys. You know, it's like, we're supposed to be a team here. You're supposed to be the ones in charge, but yet you won't actually trust us to do anything, you know?
I think so. But I also, with all that happened, I think by now it's nighttime and that kaiju's back.
Yeah, those the clock is ticking down the whole time. It's like, we're running out of time. We need to be ready. Where is it going to attack next?
Yeah.
Where did it come from? Is it going to go back to the same place? I don't think so. We'll go somewhere a bit different.
And I like in, say, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek and films like that where they give you a little bit of breathing room, then they hit it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we need to get like right back into it. But
the light's only red for a short amount of time.
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, the lights start blaring and blinking. It's like, alarms, it's back. Mm. It's, I don't know where, but...
Yeah, maybe they pick it up. Maybe as a surfacing the ocean, they pick it up and it's like, right, so it looks like it's heading to Sydney. You know, Sydney was attacked briefly in the first one.
Uh-huh.
But it was on like kind of television footage. We've seen it at Sydney Harbour. So maybe we can get a proper kind of, we can take down the Opera House and we can do a few things with it. You know the way?
Nice.
And right beside New Zealand.
We're going to Roland Emmerich, Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
I like that. So they're like, all right, let's get going. And all the guys start suiting up, getting their animals ready. And I'd say that's where Raleigh and Mako were like, no, we're doing it ourselves, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe it's like the general is like, no, you can't do it on your own. Like, you know, you need your team. And like, okay, but have them on backup. You know, don't engage until we say we need them. You know, just leave it to us. So they're there kind of on the perimeter, but they're not actually allowed to engage in the fight.
That makes sense. Yeah. So I think they deploy.
Yeah.
They take Gypsy Rose. Is that ready then?
Gypsy Danger.
Or Gypsy Danger.
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Let's say it's ready. They just put the last screw in it, you know, otherwise
yeah, it'd actually be kind of fun though. They're like, we're just nearly there, and the guys are in the machine going, we're going, and one guy is just finishing the last
screw.
It's like
the Grand Prix cockpit or the pit stop.
Yeah. It's actually like Jaws where they're shooting the barrels at the shark and Richard Dreyfuss is tying the barrel, and right when he shoots it, he finishes the knot and it springs out of his hand.
Yeah, he takes his hand off.
We've got like a lot of Jaws references in this.
Well, that's what it is, really, isn't it? It's monster versus man.
Sweet. So then they're carried out, right? Because that's pretty cool. They pilot the thing out.
Yeah, I like that. And some of them don't need it, obviously. The snake wouldn't need it.
Yeah.
Because it can swim. And the octopus wouldn't need it as
cool.
Well. So we have a couple of helicopters.
Release the Kraken.
In it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the one... Maybe it's only Gypsy getting choppered in. Because the ape can be brought in by the Vulcan, you know, the Falcon or the Eagle or whatever
sweet.
It is. So it's like they're the only ones that need assistance. I mean, they're getting ribbed on by the team. It's like, you know, you're the one who needs need mommy to hold your hand while she brings you to school, you know that way?
Yeah.
The rest of us are self-efficient.
And you have this new confused kaiju banging around stuff, kind of confused, kind of clumsy. Like, I like the kind of innocence of him too, you know?
And he's never really used his legs before. Only one night he's used his legs.
Yeah. So people are screaming, it's screaming too, like people are shooting it and it's screaming. And then you probably have that thing where you just have like a spotlight on it and the camera drifts from the kaiju and then reveals Gypsy Danger.
What if when the first time the Jaeger or the kaiju comes up and it's full of people screaming and it's looking at them and it's kind of taking all the information basically, it's like these are a lot. But when he lands at Sydney, there's nobody. There's not to be an
evacuation.
Yeah, there's not to be in like a monster that's out on alert. People know about this. It's like, right, we're not hanging around. We're in the same hemisphere now as them, as the last attack. Let's get out of here. So when he actually lands up onto into the city, he's looking around. There's nobody. It's eerie silent.
Oh, I like that.
And then we hear the, you know, of the Jaegers coming in and the crash of them landing on their feet. And it's like, okay, so.
And then they fight, like they engage. This thing is mad because it doesn't what it is, and that kind of thing about why do like the creature, like I think it was in Batman Begins, actually it was like the baddest creatures are actually afraid of you, you know. So this creature attacks Gypsy Danger out of fear,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
It lashes out and they pull out the sword. Good guys, good job, guys. You know, and that could be a little joke where somebody's like, they're talking to each other in the headphones, right, yeah. to their team, and it's like sword, and he's like, we'll take care of ourselves, guys.
Yeah,
maybe we should use the sword. You know,
we should hear you.
So yeah, nice big fight, right?
Yeah, and it's a cool fight. Mm-hmm. I think that I would like for Gypsy to kind of not really break too much of a sweat.
Yeah.
You know, they're efficient because these are the two main guys now at the moment. Like, so you don't want them to be kind of hampered. You want to see that they're amazing.
Yeah, and this isn't like our main baddie, is it?
No.
Like, I don't even know where we're going with this, but I think we need to find a way to... I'd like to kill this now.
Mm.
Maybe whatever happens, the portal opens or whatever.
What if it's the blood of the kaiju kind of sinks through the water?
Okay.
And you see like that purpley blood or whatever it is, and as it's going down, and as it hits like the ocean floor, it kind of cracks, starts to appear, and maybe it's like the secret recipe that is the key is the kaiju blood. You know, the kind of way gotcha. The kaiju have been waiting for it, and whatever it is that's in the blood is that they're opening up the portal again. And
because every time they die, more come out, right?
Yeah, it resets the clock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
And
that's what it is then. I like it. That's what it is. So the whole idea was in the first one, once they died, they reset the clock
mm-hmm.
and they come and they came in different interperiods. But because this kaiju was not killed,
yeah,
the clock never got reset.
And that's why they never came back.
Yeah. So they've been waiting for this kaiju to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love.
Awesome.
I know you were thinking of what you sprung right into my mind. We're drifting here.
We are neural high-fiving.
Yeah.
Would you like to partake in a neural chest bump?
Yes. That was satisfactory.
Yeah, so sweet. I love it. So they have this big battle. We should probably speed it up a little bit. Big battle. They. I agree, like, it's not as... The monster isn't as good at it.
Yeah.
So I think that they... Gypsy destroys him. It bleeds into the water, and maybe like this pulse that kind of like goes through the water. People are like, "What the hell was that?" You know. And then it's like, and they're like, "Oh shit, it's opened!" You know.
Well, do you think that happens, or I'd like for them to go away and say, "Right, we're cool now. Mm. We're all fine."
Okay.
And
then
it's away from them. They don't know that the portal that they're opening.
Yeah.
Because it is
the audience would have seen. Like a flicker on the...
Yeah, exactly. There would have been an indication that something's happening.
Gotcha.
But for the crew, it's like, okay, it's gone.
Another day, another dollar.
Exactly.
Round's on you. Pour that shit in my mouth.
And the Jaeger
yellow
team,
shots.
Other than Raleigh, other than Gypsy, no one's done anything. So they're all disappointed. It's like, we haven't got to fight. You know, we haven't got to test out these animals yet, these machines.
And as leaders... That's the wrong way to go.
Exactly.
You're like lead by example. It's like, that's not actually leading.
Who wants to go into a fight? Like, another kind of way. Anytime these kaiju pop up, thousands of people die. You know, so what you're asking for is for thousands of people die so you can save the remaining couple that have lived, you know?
Yeah.
That is just a bad attitude to have.
You're going to have so much fun with, like, leadership equals trust. But they don't trust people because of fear. Like, they fear they might die, you know? And these are, like, long gestating, emotional, traumatic moments that these guys still have. And that's where we're kind of tying it back to the characters. Yeah. Going, as leaders, you need trust. And as leaders, you got to embrace your fear. And even as parents, you might have to understand that you have to let your kids go. Because otherwise, your children will never be free. They'll never leave the nest if you fear that... they'll be snatched, you know?
So
it's kind of cool that we're playing with that emotion on a hypothetical sequel, you know?
What if Hannibal now and Newt are on the crash scene of the dead kaiju? Hannibal obviously wants the parts so he can sell them on the black market.
Yeah.
But Newt's whole idea now is, I need to get a sample of its brain while it's still fresh and drift with it to see what the hell is actually going on.
Yeah.
And that's when he cops on that it's actually a ticking clock the whole time.
Okay.
That they needed to keep one alive to stop more from coming true.
Right. I like that. That makes sense. And we're also slowly setting him up to take one over, right?
Exactly.
Sweet.
So he does that. He finds out what the actual plan is now. And he beelines it to the resistance base I have information I need to tell you, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Let me in. Stop thinking that I'm a lunatic and listen to what
I just picture him with like a shitload of paper. Like, yeah. It's like you can fly it off of him. And they're like, I don't need that. How do you not need that paper? It's just, there's too much stuff. He's like, I needed that one. Give me that one.
So, yeah. Then he gives the whole speech of, so it's ticking clock. Once it dies, the clock resets. More come true. That was always our problem, that we didn't close the breach. It seemed that way temporarily, but they could build another one.
The breach closed us.
Yeah, exactly. The whole reason why no kaiju came through was because there was always one left.
Okay. And you probably have the other guy, Burns?
Burn Gorman, I think his name
is. Okay, yeah. He's sitting there going, there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that. Whoop, whoop. And yeah. It's back again. Maybe there's a scene in between that where... our two heroes are confronting the their new breed of drifters, and as people walking the earth,
just homeless,
yeah, of pilots, and that's where you're like, you don't trust us, man. We can do this, and yeah. We're not doing this out of disrespect. We don't want you to get hurt, you know. Mm. So that scene can slide in the middle,
yeah.
And then I just think that it's always fun to have somebody say like, "This will happen." No, it won't, and then it literally happens. Yeah. Like the lights go out.
And in the first one, it was like one kaiju would come, and then all of a sudden there was two kaiju.
Yeah.
But then in the last event, it was three of them.
Yeah.
That came through at one time. So I think we should start off with three.
That makes sense. And we have our other pilots then.
Exactly. And it's like, now Mako and Charlie have no choice. They can't take on three on their own.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to let us help you, you know, that way. So like reluctantly, they agree to the team's demands, basically.
Cool.
It is a team now that they have to fight.
And are the kaiju coming through? Are they mech as well? Or are we holding that for like one big one or a new breed after?
I think we should hold it. I think we should hold a Jaeger kaiju till the end. That's the big baddie this time around.
That'd be really cool.
But I think that the kaiju that come through now are like the big, big, big ones. Like there was one big one in the last one. It was like a level 5. They never had a level 5 before.
Right.
This is a level 5, oh my god. And that's what it is. That's what comes true. Like three of them. So I was like, these are big bastards.
Yeah, one flies. So we have some fun with the flight.
Yeah.
Two can go on land, but I don't think one gets to land. I think it gets attacked by Squid Boy. Yeah. The Kraken.
Yeah, definitely.
So we can have fun with our different animals that we've introduced.
Exactly.
Sweet. So I think, yeah, whoop, whoop. Get your ass in the machine and... go fight some monsters.
That one guy with the drill again. Wow. I keep on cutting this really, really close. You know what? We're putting you on window cleaning duty tomorrow.
Yeah. Pick up the game, man. So this is... Let's go to Philippines or something.
Yeah.
Right, we gotta give those Asians some love. We went to two white countries. We're just whitewashing this whole thing.
Okay, so we're there. Yeah, is there kind of like sandy area in that, maybe? It the could beach? Be cool. Yeah, like a big, it's like big a beach.
It's like a big beach.
Yeah, a big one. So we can have the snake having a bit of fun diving in and out of sand.
I like that.
Popping up and attack, because it doesn't have any arms at the end of the day. It's teeth.
That's going to be an amazing sequence then. Like, seeing that thing wrapping around.
And choking.
Yeah, yeah. And choking a creature. And yeah, it would just look great. And I'm thinking... Maybe you hold that shot for later, but when you see a battle in the sky, a battle underwater, and a battle on land, and Gypsy Danger, you have one of those Avengers, the first Avengers shots, yeah, where it goes from one to one without cutting. I think it would just look so cool.
And you think, I would like now for in this fight, for Gypsy Danger to be kind of pushed out of the way, that the crew aren't really listening to the playbook. That Mako and Ryder,
that makes sense, yeah.
And every time like Gypsy goes to throw a punch, like the ape one jumps in and gets there first, and
but maybe nudges Gypsy when he does it, and like they actually knock each other, and it's like, stop it, like,
we're a team.
Yeah, I like that. Are we saying that we're going to be completely successful on the human side, or are we going to have a couple of robot casualties? A
couple of robot casualties. Maybe like the octopus comes out with 5 arms instead of 8.
Okay.
You know? Maybe a couple of feathers get plucked.
Do we lose anybody? Losing somebody could have its benefit because it teaches them the harsh realities of what not to do.
I think the snake would be really cool for one fight, but after that we play all the moves of a snake, you know, that kind of way?
Okay.
The wrapping around, the biting, the maybe like missiles firing out of its mouth and whatever, like the constriction. like that will be cool, but there's not really too much else you can do with a snake. So what if they kind of, the snake wins its fight,
yeah,
with working with the ape, mm-hmm. and then they kind of turn their back and the snake gets destroyed and basically gets killed. Everyone in the snake gets killed.
Yeah.
And that's the,
and maybe
the sacrifice that's made.
Maybe it's the bird creature, the creature with wings, snatches a snake up because the other person flying is just having difficulty.
Yeah.
So
it's not fast enough, basically.
Yeah, and this person isn't experienced. They didn't try to cover their own weaknesses because I hate using cliches, but you're only as strong as your weakest link or whatever. And so he wasn't strong enough, and because of that, he didn't die, or they didn't die. The snake did, because I think it's kind of cool to see a creature grab a snake. You know, like a flying creature snatch the snake robot and like fly off and like rip it to shreds. And,
rip it in half and stamp on it and swallow it.
Seriously, bite it right in the head.
It is an animal at the end of the day, like a monster, so it can do whatever it wants.
And so I think there was success. It was back and forth a bit. There was success on the human side. That happens, and it just kind of shuts everyone up, and they're like, oh man, like this is bad. Do you think Gypsy then puts an end to that flying one? I think that's the only one left, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And do you think maybe at that time we hold back on the Charlie conversation, or the Newt conversation from earlier, where he's like, you know, giving the explanation of why it happens.
Okay.
And at that moment, just before Gypsy is about to kill the flying one, mm-hmm. he's like, don't kill it, you know?
Oh, yes. We have to keep one of them alive.
Exactly.
Yes.
We have to keep, and to kill it. So we know there's going to be another event.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a little bit too late, you know, to give the information across. Gypsy kills it. So it's kind of Gypsy's fault for acting a little bit too quickly.
Yeah, and they're,
you know,
they're, as a leader, they're not taking on the information from their people in order to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. And true frustration of, like, there's no cooperation within the team.
Yeah.
They're not really kind of on their, they're not 100% in the fight.
Yeah.
And they make a mistake, and that is a mistake.
What a mistake did I make it?
Exactly. So now we know there's going to be more, possibly four.
Yep.
You know? And we're going to have to mech a kaiju, is that what Owen said?
Yeah.
I think. So, I think it's pretty cool now. So we're grieving now for some friends, from some lost mm-hmm. comrades.
And they're and there's frustration. I can see them coming back and tossing their helmet.
Exactly, they're fighting with each other. It's your fault. It's your fault. You know, you should have supported us on the back. You know.
And that guy who like screws in the last screw walks into the hallway, sees them bickering, and leaves because he's like, they're gonna blame me.
He just picks up his wrench.
Yeah,
just walks back out.
I'm out of here. So you have the nice moments where they're like, they're all fighting each other, and it's like it's not looking pretty, and no one's working as a team. Even now, like, it's a blame game completely.
Yeah. And what if we're kind of focusing on like each pilot kind of fighting against the other pilots? What if there's like rifts within the team themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So like there's no neural handshake now gonna happen because Mako and Riley aren't talking.
Yeah.
Or the other team, in another kind of way, they're segregated. So like there's fractures inside the Jaegers as well as outside it.
Yeah.
In the team.
Split personalities.
Exactly.
I like it.
What hemisphere left out of this here?
So then, I guess we can have that stuff, but that's kind of good to just say, right? We can't really get
to it. No, we don't need to get into it because we want to wrap this up and get into the last fight. Like, and
yeah. So I think that's where you have coming up now. What we have to do is we have to set up that scene with Charlie explaining what they need to keep one alive. When all the other ones come in, we do need to keep one alive so Charlie can take it over.
Yeah.
Like, so it's injured, he takes it over.
So we have one then that, maybe that the one that, the flying one, or,
mm-hmm.
well, we already have a flying Jaeger. So let's say there's the other kaiju was the one that Raleigh killed prematurely. Maybe it's kind of not quite, it's still fresh enough, and they bring it in. Charlie says, bring it in quickly, and they kind of like carry it in, and we can see a Jaeger drag this corpse of a kaiju into the hangar and just dropping it down, the saliva and everything pops out, and Charlie's just like so happy to see it. It's like, I have an idea. We don't know what the idea is as an audience yet. He just says that and we cut away, but his idea is to drift with the kaiju with Burn.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done it together, I think, in the last one. That's the only reason why they got to do it. So they have to be together in this.
Okay.
And they're devising something to take over the kaiju.
I like it. And that could also involve resuscitating it back to life, yeah. Like giant, what's that thing that you electrocute the heart?
Defibrillator.
You defibrillate.
They defibbed it.
Yeah, they defibbed it. But all that sciencey yeah. stuff, yeah. So
using the technology that Mako and Raleigh were using at the start in yes. their surgeries.
Nanotech.
Similar process. It's like, you know, we devised this after the Jaegers and all that. When,
amazing. Know, we set ourselves up so well. So they're using the nanotech to actually go into the head.
To rebuild the Frankenstein soil.
Yeah.
To fill in the gaps of what was missing. And Robocopter, basically. Yeah. Robocopter.
And since they're in that vessel, now they actually have the mechanism to take over.
Yeah.
Because they've tinkered with the design of the nano drift.
Mm.
Oh my God, that's perfect. But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't been privy to that yet.
And I think that they arrive just at the end of the fight.
At the kind of gunslingers, yeah, you know?
Exactly. Just through the shadow of the sun, just blocking.
You've got your
sun.
Gypsies, you got your drifters, we got our cowboy.
It's awesome.
God, these are ragtag. So yeah, so we'll cut away. I know I don't want to spend too much time on the emotions of these guys, but
they get back together. We settle our differences.
Yeah,
we have to settle our differences to save the humanity.
And then whoop whoop, big
yeah.
big deal. There's what do you say, like four now?
Well, how many? Pilots we got. We have four pilots left, don't we?
We do.
Four sets. So let's say there's like six Kaiju. Let's put the odds against them slightly.
Yeah, and one of those is the mech.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And he's the one who sank us off from the back of the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, the Brock Lesnar of them all.
I like that. So they know that there's out there, but maybe on the monitor you see the bloops.
Yeah.
The bubble bloops, and one is in the back. And we don't see that because that's an amazing reveal later on. So this has got to be the, like, as a writer would be like, just insert the best battle yet, you know, like of all two, it is a barnstormer. It's just.
It'd be awesome for the moment for the reveal of the hybrid mm-hmm. to be a robot fist punching Gypsy in the face.
Awesome.
Gypsy thinking it's the ape.
Yes. It's
like, you know, or something like that. And that
I said work as a team.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell? He looks around and we kind of pan up and we see like metal at the start and then it's like biological,
yes,
you know, that kind of way, and it's like it's dun, all of a sudden it's like dun, what dun, the hell sure? is this, yeah, exactly.
I like that a lot. So yeah, we have a big fight, insert massive fight scene. You have the flying creature maybe poking at the flying robot attacking creatures, and you know, like it's a bunch of scenarios that are difficult to discuss.
Maybe the octopus gets wiped out straight away because we don't want to be in the water for too long.
One
thing that I loved about Avengers, especially the second one, was Captain America and Thor working together using the Mjolnir and the shield, taking out, you know, combinations within the team.
Yeah,
so they have a rapport. I'd like to see that in this, you know, with Jaegers actually working together, doing cool moves. So you have like the bird, the eagle one coming in, picking something up. As it's picking it up, it drops it and Gypsy punches it in the air. You know, that sort of stuff.
And maybe like the octopus, it was fighting something in the water. It jumped out of the water and then the gorilla grabs the octopus and just throws it.
Uses it like a whip.
Yeah. And it actually can reach its tentacles out, grab the thing and like just bring it straight back into the water, you know?
And holds it in the water. We just see heads popping up.
Yeah,
and getting dragged back down again, like the scene in Jaws with the woman swimming, you know,
inking in the face. It's like, oh God.
I didn't think the ink would work, but it was a great move.
Acid ink, or it's like it just ruptured a gasoline tank. There's like oil spilling out of his ass.
We see Gypsy doing the, you know, putting its hands together, and the ape running at Gypsy, getting a bunt up in the air, like, and flying through the air and like pounding on Kaiju.
Awesome
stuff like that. Like, I think you need that teamwork.
I like, yeah. I think that's,
it's
that's
rough, right, but it's working.
Yeah, and you can, yeah, you're right. So they're feeling it, like slowly they're working together, but it's not as clean.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Some of it doesn't work, most of it does.
I do like your idea. Octopus goes down, so he's done.
Yeah.
So are we saying then we knock out three kaiju, and then we knock out two.
I would say maybe two kaiju, keep four of them, and then the team gets whittled down to maybe the ape and gypsy.
I like that.
So there's only two of them left. We don't have to kill the pilots; they could have ejected the other kind of way, but their Jaegers are out of commission now.
Yeah,
and now it's like 4-on-2. It's like the odds are really stacked against these, and then we have Charlie and Gorm basically come in
at the last minute. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, it's like a Survivor Series.
You know, when like the good guys are down to like
two on five.
How are they ever going to handle it? Sweet. I like that. And then you actually have the biggest, you can have the thing where the guys or girls in charge of the gorilla, they were the ones who were the biggest, had the biggest issue. They're most vocal against our heroes.
Yeah.
So now they actually go.
They're the Australian guy in this one.
Yeah. Now they go back to back and they have to like really work together as a team in order to conquer the odds.
Yeah.
And I think they do a really good job against these kaiju that are alive.
That's it. And I think Newt, the Newt kaiju is doing quite well.
Uh-huh.
But he's not a fighter. Neither of the two of them. They're scientists. They're not fighters. Yeah. So maybe they're...
So let's go back to this because we haven't actually discussed that reveal. So, yeah, so in this moment, you have the two guys, the two Jaegers doing quite well. And, like, finally working as a team, we have that fist that you talked about. You have the, why'd you hit me? I didn't hit you. And then you have that reveal, and it's mech. It's a hybrid.
Yeah, so what if the hybrid is the one who destroys the other two Jaegers?
Gotcha.
That's the one that's responsible for like the most destruction.
Yeah, and
you know the other ones have been picked off.
This is stuff where you go back to the observation deck, and people are like, "Mother of God, what is that?
How did we combat this?
They didn't. Oh wow! You know, like this is we've never even considered this a possibility.
Yeah,
it's that epic that it stops everyone in the tracks.
Exactly, and it's hideous looking. I think it's like it's. It looks like it's metal in all the wrong places, pretty much. Yeah. In other ways, like it shouldn't work.
It screams and there's this robotic slash monster roar. It's weird.
Exactly. It's very agile. It's like really strong. It's able to rip it rips the octopus like apart, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it pulls the eagle out of the sky or the falcon, or whatever.
It's like shoots like a laser at the eagle, and you're like, wow, it can do that. Because those other things, they had more like. Long like phlegm they would spit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's weaponized now.
Yeah, so it's like there's lasers and missiles and stuff. Yeah. Sweet, I like that. So I think then it's demolishing the things to the heroes, you know.
Yeah,
and then it probably grabs the gorilla, pounding on it, grabs Gypsy. Like this is, as you say, Brock Lesnar. Like this is the it's
the beast.
Yeah, it's whooping ass, and then you probably have another. Turn. You have another reveal where you just see this.
What if it's Gypsy and I like that image that you painted. It was like Gypsy and the gorilla back to back, and they're being surrounded. And it's like, you know, this is gonna be tough, but we need to work together. Then all of a sudden, you see another kaiju coming out. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of way it's like, oh god, there's five of them now. Where are you picking this up? Are you picking this up on your radar? And then with that, it's like. No, it's okay. We're friendly. You know, it's fine. We're friendly.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And it's like, kind of drunk walking.
Yeah.
At first, it looked cool.
Yeah.
But now, on closer inspection, it's kind of swaying.
A little hideous.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're in they're maybe not in the kaiju. They're in the laboratory that Mako and Raleigh were in.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so they're away from the danger. So at least if this thing dies, we don't kill Nukes and stuff.
Yeah, because they're in that nano thing. Yeah. Because you wouldn't drill your head into the head.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree. That's awesome.
Standing in a digger drum.
Now, does it jump? Does the Charlie monster? Hey, that guy requested Charlie's big, so we kind of got that.
Oh yeah. I meant that all along.
Do they jump in and go back to back with the other guys, or do they like line up with the other creatures and then just knock them for sure?
Yeah, well, if they just come up behind the creatures are kind of looking at it, kind of like, this is a bit weird.
Yeah.
And maybe Charlie, Newt, and Burn are able to like rip apart two of the kaiju.
Yeah.
And maybe then it's like, it's kaiju versus kaiju, and Raleigh and the ape and Mako are against the mega one.
Yeah, I like
it. So it's 2-on-1. And it's 1-on-1.
I like it. That makes perfect sense. And say this huge battle. And I think that... I keep saying that. So it's like, I have no imagination today.
Yeah.
They have a Insert huge battle. But what else are you going to say? It's yeah. It's
pounding. No, it is. It's pounding. It's punching. It's kicking. Yeah.
You have a nice, maybe you have like a sacrifice moment at the end of like the fight where one of the leader or whatever, like your lesson is like you sacrifice yourself and then you're okay or whatever.
Would have to be Raleigh and Mako, wouldn't it, laying themselves down on the line for their team?
Yeah.
Because they're leaders. And leading by example, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. way. Maybe the ape is the better robot. Maybe they had disputes about this the whole time.
Okay.
You know, that Raleigh and Mako were a bit old-fashioned about it. Like, he can't be a good old Jaeger.
Yeah.
You know, and the ape is the superior, it's a dominant species in the as far as the robots are concerned.
Yeah.
And maybe the Mecha one is about to kill the ape, and Raleigh and Mako jump in and sacrifice Gypsy. Gypsy is the destroyed.
Oh, I like that.
So then it's like,
but they're alive.
But they're alive, yeah. They're alive. But maybe they pop the head off, you know, the way the head just pops in. Ooh. Maybe they manage to kind of eject the head.
But in their sacrifice, they've left a killer blow for the mech.
Yeah, maybe they blow off some of its armor. So it's exposed. Nice. Maybe it's like part of like its organs are exposed. And that's now where the ape is able to focus all its attention on.
And the ape just Kano's it from Mortal Kombat and rips its cyborg heart out or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
And other kaiju are dead now.
Except for the one with Charlie and Gorm, the one that they're fighting.
Yeah.
And we think they're fighting it, but really all they're doing is trying to subdue it. Because they have to keep it alive.
Yes. So that's the thing. We need to end it with one of them alive, right?
Yeah.
And would the Charlie one count?
I don't think so. I think maybe they were hoping for that, but yeah. It didn't work. Obviously, because the kaiju came again.
Mm-hmm.
The next batch after Charlie had like resuscitated, it obviously didn't work, so they can't risk it.
Also, it'd be kind of fun that maybe they do defeat the mech one, like the hybrid, but then the military show up, see the Charlie one, and be like, that's a kaiju, and maybe they actually kill it.
Yeah.
So they're like, now you have our heroes, Raleigh and Mako, they don't have a robot. We have our Charlie. They don't have a monster. So now we have Gorilla and one kaiju left. And now they're like, we have like you have two people on the ground, and they're like all working together to help these two guys or these two girls in the gorilla defeat this one kaiju and subdue them, right?
Yeah.
Because we can't have them kill it either, but they all have to work together and communicate what they need, you know?
Exactly.
And maybe at that point, it's more like, we trust you guys. We trust you guys to subdue that creature. We're going to go and tell the military not to kill it.
Yeah.
So the two heroes are actually involved.
They're on land now.
Yeah. So they're like, stop, we need it alive. They convince the military not to kill the last kaiju.
Maybe the military are a bit like, you know, no, we have to kill it. Like, obviously we have to kill it. Maybe Hannibal Chow is there. You don't have rights to the body. In another kind of way, I signed a contract that these belong to me. If they say it stays alive, it stays alive.
There's something about like a missile being shot off anyway, like a loose missile, and it's going towards the kaiju, and it's like, don't, like, and there's that fear thing, like, you kill this kaiju with this missile going towards it.
Yeah.
We don't have the resources for another attack, and something happens to deflect it or whatever.
What if Charlie puts his kaiju in the line and that dies?
Yeah, something like that.
The robot kaiju, basically, the good kaiju.
Yeah, I think you need that one moment with a missile going towards something, and then that's your big blowout. Like, that ends the whole battle. And they could say, stop shooting, because now they've convinced everybody that you can't kill this kaiju. This kaiju is now subdued by a gorilla.
Yeah.
In a bear hug or whatever.
Yeah.
And they knock it out. And dust settles. And it's over. The fight is finished.
Done.
Yeah.
So then we just go back to the base and we just talk about it. And it's like, okay, these are good leaders. Thanks very much for saving us, you know. Maybe we have to work as a team. We all understand that now.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah.
Hey, would you like to come with us and work on medical equipment or whatever, etc.?
Maybe it's like, maybe that's what Raleigh turns around her and goes to Mako. He's like, so we're going back now to what did they call it? Not surgery, but the theater. We're going back to the theater now. Okay. You know, kind of way. And maybe the ape is there, the people who control the ape, and like the head resistance are there. It's like, you know, maybe we can't let you retire this time, just in case, another kind of way. Mm-hmm. I.e., Pacific Rim 3.
Also, this is where you slot them into the role. This would be pretty cool. So at the beginning, they were the only ones who could do the job, so that's why they had that job. And in the end, they're going to teach people how to do the job. So they're becoming leaders and teachers, because why would you just have two people who could do it? Instead, why don't you have the two people who can do it teach others, so then more people can function and help and save people with the nanobites and stuff.
Exactly.
So yeah, and you probably have that big creature in a tank with Charlie and Hannibal looking at it.
They have a comb or whatever.
Yeah. And maybe your last shot is like, see, he's dead. And they knock on the glass, one eye opens, or you just see a charge, maybe. And the charge is kind of like goes across the water, cut to black.
Yeah.
And you just added this one thing that maybe it just died, or maybe it called for help, or we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Which gives us the next writers, the next breakers of the story, something to do for the next Pacific Rim.
Yeah, sweet.
Pacific Rim 3.
Pacific Rims.
Yeah. I was typing it into Twitter when I was asking, and I put in Pacific Jim, and then it didn't really have the same ring to it.
The famous fisherman. Pacific Jim.
Okay, that's a wrap.
Done.
Boom. Pacific Rim 2 finished. We know who's directing it, right?
Yeah, you have to. Well, he's not doing that now, is he?
Sweet. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Owen Perry, for your suggestion. And guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. And be sure, our next one's going to be an original, right?
I think so.
So send us an original idea. And you can do it by either using the hashtag StoryPitch or sending us an audio file over the electronic mail.
Yeah, like about, keep it to about 60 seconds, nice and brief.
Yeah.
Send it to us at storybreakers@gmail.com, or you can hit us up at Twitter at StoryBreakers or Facebook /StoryBreakers.
Sweet. Now we shall end this, the neural chest bump, and I wish you guys a good day.